Time now for a special edition, a look back at 2011 in Indiana politics, the big stories and the politicians who took part in them. That plus our year-end roundtable on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending December 30, 2011.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, in a special edition, a look back on the biggest political stories of 2011 in Indiana, a year filled with conflict. The conflict that dominated headlines the longest was the five-week walkout in the Indiana House of Representatives. When Republicans proposed right-to-work legislation, Democrats fled to Illinois.
We've got people that want to cram radical, ill-thought-out ideas that will lower people's wages and will mess up our schools.
This whole business of running for national office. I'm not saying I won't do it.
Mitch Daniels grabbed almost as many headlines as he flirted with a run for the White House, only to cite family concerns when he finally said no. Congressman Mike Pence also turned down a White House bid. He'll run for governor instead. Before the year was out, four of the Republicans in the 2012 presidential race came to Indianapolis seeking support.
You helped take our message to the voters, and the voters agreed with us!
Greg Ballard won re-election as mayor of Indianapolis on a night when the GOP made gains statewide, winning in such unlikely spots as Terre Haute and Evansville. Corruption grabbed headlines, too. Former city-county councilor Lincoln Plowman was sentenced to prison after he accepted a cash bribe from an undercover federal agent. And State Representative Phil Hinkle was caught in a sex scandal with a teenage male.
I never thought in a million years that politics would get so personal and dirty.
In civil and criminal court, Secretary of State Charlie White battled all year to keep his office in the face of voter fraud allegations. And a tragic stage collapse at the state fair killed seven, injured dozens, and sparked a debate over the $5 million state cap on liability.
There's a sense that there is something out of control in our nation's capital.
And finally, in a preview of conflict to come, State Treasurer Richard Murdoch won Tea Party endorsements for his challenge to a fellow Republican, Senator Richard Lugar.
Great convictions, but
what was the top Indiana political story of 2011? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanis, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Mike McDaniel, your nomination for Story of the Year.
I think it's clearly Greg Ballard's reelection of mayor of the city of Indianapolis in a county that's clearly a Democrat county. And he won because of his competency and the fact that the voters agreed with the job he's done.
You think that's the biggest story
of
the year?
I absolutely do, because the numbers are so against him in this county as far as Democrat Republican makeup, and a lot of people were writing him off. He surprised them the first time with his victory, but this was no surprise. He worked and earned this victory, and that's the biggest story of the year.
And Delaney, your nomination.
I think that there are two, but they're unfold in 2012, and that's the Hardy and the Bales indictments are going to have repercussions, I think, much bigger than what is already seen. But for 2011, those are obviously occurred in 2011, but the biggest story in 2011 has to be the right to work controversy.
The Democratic walkout.
Well, I agree with that. I think, and I'll expand on that just a little bit, because the walkout clearly was over right to work. That issue was pulled a couple of days after the walkout occurred, but the Democrats chose to add to the list of bills that were on the off list all of a sudden and created the five-week walkout that occurred. I think that that was a big story because despite the walkout, the Republicans got nearly everything they wanted in the session, and the Democrat caucus was weakened when it needed leverage when it came time to make those maps redistricting. And so I think that's why that's the biggest story of the year.
If you look at biggest news event, I would agree with Mike. I think Mayor Ballard's reelection in a jurisdiction that leans Democratic, I mean, just look at the raw numbers, and was supposed to be safe haven for Democrats for decades to come. And he's shown that he had surprising popularity, perhaps, given some of the polling we had seen, including your own, Jim, and delivered a pretty convincing victory. However, I said event because politics doesn't unfold in a vacuum. It takes place on a broader stage, right. And that's why I think the economy. I mean, that's shaped because it shapes state budgets. It shapes the way we react to right to work. It shapes everything this year, and, of course, it shapes political races, too. So I'll say economy is the big issue or big story, but big event is Mayor Ballard.
Yeah, it's not a bad answer. I still think the biggest political story of the year was the Democratic walkout, and I think that in second place is Mitch Daniels flirting with a run for president.
Yeah.
That drew national headlines for a long time. All right, time for our year-end awards. Best campaign strategy, Ann Delaney.
Oh, I think that goes to Ballard for paving everything that didn't move at least once.
And sometimes twice.
And sometimes
right?
twice.
I think it goes to Ballard for actually making good on everything he said he was going to do and running on competency as opposed to getting down and dirty on the campaign.
Oh, he got down there.
No,
he
didn't.
He's as political as everybody else.
I'll say Ballard for being a savvy and sophisticated enough politician to know that he should run as a non-politician.
Good point. I'm going to say that the effort to reform schools in the last General Assembly that was very coordinated and led to a voucher program that people had a long time failed to get passed. And not only did they get it passed, but it's the largest in the country and has sure. huge participation. A coordinated effort that really worked for those advocates.
Yeah, I say it was Greg Ballard, and it was for convincing people that he wasn't a politician while all the time being a pretty good politician. Okay, a biggest campaign mistake, Mike McKenna.
Well, clearly, Melina Kennedy going negative out of the box and saying some outrageous stuff that never stuck to Greg Ballard because the public knew that what she said wasn't true.
Republicans in the 5th District are doing it again by splitting the vote to let a very unpopular congressman probably get reelected.
Dan Burton.
I'm going to zero in a little bit on what Mike had to say. I think specifically the thing that hurt the Kennedy campaign the most was the injection of race in the issue and inferring that Mayor Ballard was racist. I think that really backfired on the campaign.
The Kennedy campaign, there were some mistakes, but also toward the end of the year, John Gregg, Democratic gubernatorial candidate, didn't do himself any favors by seemingly trying to handpick a successor to Dan Parker as state Democratic chair. And we all saw what happened. He didn't get who he wanted. There was a lot of infighting that became very public and doesn't suggest there's a very unified party heading into an all-important election cycle.
Yeah, I think Melina Kennedy made the Kernan mistake. Voters didn't get to know her real personality. She didn't appear much on camera in her ads. That I think, was the biggest mistake. Okay, best ad of the year.
You know, this season, there really weren't any that stood out for either best or worst. The one that I saw was a direct mail piece, which was a takeoff on that. Is it Lightbright? That fly-by-night group coming in here. That was pretty clever because it was humorous. But other than that, it was pretty dry season.
I think the Ballard ads that concentrated on his accomplishments, but then he also said, but we still have a lot of work to do, I think captured the mood of voters that recognize that there is a lot of work to do, and I'm doing it.
Well, I think Greg Ballard had ads that actually made him seem warm and human. I thought that's what...
wow. He is
so they were well done.
He is that, but not in a public way, generally.
No, I agree. I think you're right, Jim. The spots that he did were some of the most effective because he talked to voters, he looked at the camera, and this seemed to be a climate where people wanted competence and not political partisanship, at least very visible partisanship, and he delivered.
And
in
then
those
they
spots.
Come in and redistrict the most partisan way possible.
He asked one question. That's a different question.
Best ad implies a lot of different things. I'm going to look at it this way. The best ad that I watched was for a city-county council race in Indianapolis, and it was the Libertarian candidate. He lives in the Broad Ripple area. It's Bill Levin, 11, and it was a great ad because he's walking down a street in Broad Ripple with this duster on, and he looks right in the camera and says, I want to be your city-county councilman. Please elect me.
It was an internet. It was an internet ad. He didn't have the money to get it on TV.
Yeah, but you know what? I like that ad a lot.
All right, worst ad.
Got him a lot of votes.
Mike.
Too.
Well, you know.
I'm sorry.
Worst ad.
Worst ad. Melina Kennedy's radio spot where she tried to label Greg Ballard a racist was just completely out of the question.
Oh, she also had one where she accused the mayor of pay to play, which I think falls in the same category. Worst ad.
I don't know. They were all really weren't very good. Sorry.
It was that kind of year.
I think the worst ad I've heard is the one that Senator Lugar has on the air or had on the air at the end of the year criticizing the president. Now, I think it may help him in the primary, but I think if he survives the primary, it's going to hurt him in the general election.
At the risk of being flippant, I'll say the Craigslist ad that Representative Phil Hinkle responded to, which upended his career and certainly...
Not a political ad, per se.
Not a political ad, but will you acknowledge it does have political ramifications and political fallout?
Entertaining answer. Best move by a politician, Ann Delaney.
Best move by a politician. I think from a totally selfish perspective, it's Mike Pence deciding not to run for president. I mean, the vacuum that the Republicans have out there for a candidate, the desire to have somebody, if it was God's lips to his ears, God was not giving him the best advice.
Best move by a politician.
Taking the money from the utility sale here and putting it into infrastructure and paving as many streets as they paved last year made a huge difference because people could see it and feel it, and those roads were neglected for a lot of years.
I'll say Mitch Daniels was not on the ballot, of course, but he was in a very real way in that he spent a whole heck of a lot of time and a lot of money making sure that people of his choosing, recruiting candidates, and then helping fund their campaigns, and look what he got as a result, control of the legislature.
You know, I think this pained the governor to say he was not going to run for president, but I think that was a good move because he avoided the circus that has broken out among the candidates on the Republican side for now. And who knows, if something really goes strange and haywire and this ends up at the convention, then he would have another
chance. Sarah Palin's coming back.
Yeah, that's my nomination. All right, worst move by a politician, Mike McDaniel.
Well, I actually have two. One would be Pat Bauer leading the Democrats to go for 5 weeks to the state of Illinois. The public doesn't get that at all. They think they should have stayed and did what they're elected to do. And that hurt the Democrat Party, not only this year, but long term.
That's my answer, because they delayed right to work for a year, but got a lot of stuff thrown at them that they might not have otherwise.
Worst move by a politician is Charlie White staying in office.
You know, that's a very good point, but I have to go back to the walkout again because of the things that I talked about before, and that was that it really hurt them when they needed leverage on the redistricting, which will hurt them for a long time. Those maps are going to be difficult to overcome.
Yeah, you're right, Mitch Daniels, on the earlier question, avoided the circus. But if you want to look at it just in sheer political terms, if he had done it, seeing the circus that has unfolded,
yeah.
I mean, he's outclassing everybody in that field. He probably would have the nomination. I don't know if he'd be president eventually, but he would have had the nomination.
Well, he's certainly tagging enough to the right.
That was my second worst move, him deciding not to run for president because he could have won his nomination.
All right, biggest issue of 2011.
Well, biggest issue of 2011 clearly was right to work.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. It was the biggest issue and the biggest non-issue.
Yeah, I have to agree with that completely.
I'm going to say economy and the effect it had on budgets and the fact that because of that, the state is shifting more of the financial burden to local government. And that's going to, we still haven't seen the end result of how that's going to play out.
It's maybe all goes together, but jobs, I think, came up as the top issue in every poll that was taken. All right, most meaningless issue, Angela.
It's also right to work. It's the same kind of nonsense from the right wing that you see. You get Indiana ranked 15th. In the right-wing agenda, and 48th in job creation. It is not going to create jobs. It's going to drive wages down. It's going to make us the Mississippi of the North.
Race in the campaigns this year. Every time the Democrats try to play that card, it fails. It backfires on them.
That's my answer. Most meaningless issue.
How about some of the ones that Mitch Daniels included in his so-called moratorium that he got some heat for? And let's throw into that immigration reform at the state level when it's, by all accounts, still, the courts haven't ruled, but it's likely to be determined it's a federal issue. Same-sex marriage, the same sort of cast of characters that get trotted out.
You know, and that's why the Republicans in the General Assembly have such a difficult job, because, you know, they have such large majorities, they sometimes do things because they can. And I think that all of the issues that have been described are issues that most Hoosiers are just fine with. They're not that you know, they're not as important as job creation.
They're not looking to raise money from special interest groups.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think people are tired of the constant campaigns that go on for that purpose.
All right. Speaking of special interest groups, your nomination, Mike, for the biggest outside influence.
Well, no question the economy. I think the economy, I would go back to what John said a minute ago. I think the economy has had more influence over politics than we can ever believe, and it's going to be that way again in 2012. The Obama economy is going to backfire on him and hurt the Democrats overall next year.
Well, I think the economy is picking up, and I think it's going to be a plus by this time next year for Obama. Indiana is still lagging behind in that regard, even though the governor said he could do all of these things. So you got all of that, but I'd also give it to the Tea Party Express, because I think they're going to be the motion and the movement and the funds behind Murdoch, and they're going to try to influence the Republican primaries all the way through the state, and it's having an influence, no question.
Yet to be determined.
I think it's the National Right to Work Committee, which has really fomented the issue in Indiana, and I think that were it not for that kind of agitation, this might not even be an issue in Indiana.
I'll agree with Ann. Some of the Tea Party groups, only those that use the name Tea Party, but Jim DeMint's group, Freedom Works, Commonwealth Club, all the ones that we've seen have shown up in
Club
a lot
for
of...
Growth.
Or Club for Growth, I'm sorry. Yeah, not the Commonwealth. don't want to repeat that mistake. Thank you for cleaning up my error.
Not a problem.
But they got a lot of headlines, and maybe more than they deserve, but certainly media have been paying a lot of attention, and candidates have been paying a lot of attention.
I think you got to put the Indiana Chamber of Commerce on the list. They pushed Right to Work here. Mm-hmm. Biggest Tea Party darling, Ann Delaney.
It's obviously Murdoch. I mean,
easy nomination.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep, Murdoch.
We'll make it unanimous.
Richard Murdoch. All right. Best libertarian hope of 2011. Probably looking to 2012. Mike.
I don't think they have one. I think fact that the new class of Republican office holders have a lot of the principles that these folks care about, I don't see their strength gaining at all in 2012.
The sun will come up tomorrow. That's their only hope, that they find somebody.
you don't think Rupert Murdoch is a legitimate?
Seriously.
John Katzenberger.
I'm very tempted to pull a name out of a hat, but I think I'll resist that opportunity and say that they really have a dearth of talent, unlike previous years. They've always had somebody in the last several years who could at least be identified with the Libertarian Party, and really don't have that now.
I'd say their biggest hope isn't a person. It's fallout from what's perceived, I think, correctly as a move of the Republican Party in this state to the right, and the adoption of and the focus on some of these social issues and the kinds of things that libertarians don't want government involved in their bedrooms and their houses of worship. So it may be that the Republican philosophy at some point drives some people who have been Republicans in the past into the libertarian fold.
There are libertarians who think that Rupert is their great libertarian hope.
Yeah.
All right. Biggest scandal of 2011.
Obviously everybody's going to say the sex scandal, but I really think that both the IURC indictment and the Bales indictment, giving him exclusive representation rights for all the leases for $100 million.
A realtor who did business with
right.
state government.
Those
John
two,
Bales.
Those two have the potential to come around in 2012 with a much, much larger ripple effect, which is going to look very
this is
poor.
Not, this is not wishful thinking.
No, I don't think it is wishful thinking, because I think when you get that kind of power in one person and you abuse it, as this administration does, it's going to have a ripple effect.
Biggest scandal.
I think the Democrat walkout to Illinois for 5 weeks is the biggest one, because people think that you should do the job you're elected to do. And I think they saw that as scandalous, and I think it's going to hurt them for a long time.
And they
time.
Tried that in the last campaign.
Seriously.
Against one of the candidates,
it's
and gonna
happen.
Won.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Scandalous.
John. Ann said everybody's going to say sex scandals, and I think the premise is flawed. I think we'd all probably stipulate that those scandals that have involved a violation or breach of public trust involving misuse of funds or influence, in my opinion, do far more damage to our process and to government long term than sexual indiscretions, which are really more of a personal problem in many ways.
You know, I agree with that completely, and that's why I include in that list the Tim Durham situation and the ongoing case involving Tim Durham, who was a major contributor to many candidates in high offices, and I think that that has rippled through this year and will continue to ripple through because that case, as that case is resolved.
Okay, I'm going to say Lincoln Plowman, just because there's a guy who's headed to jail for what he did in office. All right, most embarrassing politician, Mike.
I'm going to say Lincoln Plowman, because when you're actually caught on videotape abusing your position of power, I think that is the ultimate, and I think that was an embarrassment to everybody involved in politics.
I think to have the highest elected election official in the state of Indiana indicted for election fraud is the most embarrassing.
Charlie White.
And those are both true, and the ones who are indicted on, you know, sexual or brought down, I should say, by sexual allegations is also embarrassing.
Well, they're all good answers. I'll go with Lincoln Plowman too, for the reasons Mike stated. It's just sends the wrong message.
I'm going to go with Phil Hinkle, just mostly because he's remained in office despite the embarrassment that he encountered. All right, most improved politician, Angela.
I think Tom Henry, the mayor of Fort Wayne. When you talk about winning in a city with a, 14% Republican advantage, and he was able to win there decidedly by characterizing his opponent as a tax increaser, I think he is the most improved politician.
I don't think there's any question the most improved politician is Greg Ballard. I mean, the fact that he's so much better communicator now than he was when he was first elected.
Went from the accidental mayor to reelected in a Democratic county.
And not just the election, but the way he was able to communicate with people was so much improved. I think he's clearly the most improved politician.
Yeah, I agree. I'll give a variation on the answer I gave, maybe the first or second question, for that reason. He's become a very good politician by not being at least perceived as a politician. And that was brilliant, especially this cycle, where that's what people apparently wanted.
Most improved politician is one who lost an election 4 years ago that he won this past fall. Denny Ketzenberger was elected to the city county council.
I'm changing.
In city council in Auburn, Indiana, at large, I will add.
I'm changing my answer. I agree with you.
There you go.
Way to go, Dad.
Way to go, Dad.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific poll question in connection with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, what issue will dominate the 2012 General Assembly? Your choices are A, right to work, B, the smoking ban, or C, education spending. There's also D, something else. Take part in the poll. Just go to WFYI.org/IWRR and look for the poll. Now, for our biggest awards of 2011, let's start out with Rookie of the Year, Mike McDaniel.
Chris Barnes, 23-year-old Butler student, mayor-elect of Frankfort, Indiana. This guy is a rising star. He's going to be around a long time. Really capable young man.
That's a good choice.
Pete Buttigieg. I know he ran statewide, but he survived a very divisive primary and went on to win with 70% of the vote in South Bend, and he's obviously a comer.
New mayor of South Bend, and the mayors of South Bend have a history of staying in office for
a long time.
This might be a guy who advances a little more quickly. All right.
I'm going to say John Barth, who's a city county councilor at large in Indianapolis. He ran your classic campaign, knocked on hundreds and thousands of doors in his all across the city, and has already earned plaudits from both sides of the aisles for his diligence. And I like the appearance that he brings, and I hope he does well. And that's a good
top
example.
Top vote getter too.
That's right.
Yeah. If Time Magazine can pick a group, I'm going to pick a group, and I'll say freshmen in the Indiana House. They're all Republicans, all very conservative, and instead of being backbenchers, seen and not heard, which is a traditional role of a freshman, they largely drove the agenda and probably gave Brian Bosma, I was going to say gray hair, no hair jokes, but for Brian.
Well, you just made one.
I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what, I think that's an excellent choice. I think there are two that deserve honorable mention. Lloyd Winicky, the new mayor in Evansville, a Republican who won in a Democratic city, and I think you also have to cite Zach Adamson, who is the first openly gay candidate to win a seat on the Indianapolis City County Council. Mm-hmm. All right, politician of the year in Indiana, Ann Delaney.
Well, I've given this a lot of thought, okay? I've given it a lot of thought,
this
and
will
I'm
be good.
Completely objective about this.
Okay, you want me to give it for you?
And it's my husband.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I mean, look at it. He's led the issue on the state fair, and he's got the governors now saying that that's right. He's led the issue on the convenience stores, and now the IOSHA is stepping in, so yeah.
I don't know what Ann wants for Christmas, but I hope she gets it.
Politician of the year.
Clearly Greg Ballard.
All right,
with all due respect to Ed Delaney and Denny Ketzenberger, I'll say Mitch Daniels.
I think it's either Mitch Daniels or Greg Ballard. They both had great years.
I'm going to go with Mitch Daniels based on book sales. All right. Party of the year in Indiana, Mike.
So there's no question. It's the Republican Party. The majority of mayors for the first time wins in Indianapolis, Evansville, Terre Haute, Columbus, Jeffersonville. I mean, it was off the charts.
It was clearly Mike McDaniel's Christmas party.
All right, good answer.
That was a great answer. I think the Republican Party.
Yeah. Republican Party.
Hard to dispute. The Republicans had the best year in 2011. That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwannis of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity. Just go to Hoosier TV and look for Indiana Week in Review under News. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in a thousand different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the thousand and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.